Hi, Jane. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Wright. Yes, I had one question on DHEA. I'm on the bioidentical hormones. And so is the DHEA becomes testosterone, or how does that work? I was just curious about that.
DHEA in some individuals can become testosterone, but it isn't the majority of it. And women with whom I work are using DHEA as part of their bioidentical hormones. Usually they keep behind, as you might call it, a substantial amount of the DHEA as DHEA, because it has its own job. It's not just a precursor molecule. And by the way, if that lady happens to be type 2 diabetic or from a family where there's type 2 diabetes, both the DHEA and the testosterone will turn into too darn much estrogen. And you wouldn't think that would hurt a lady, but how it hurts her is by robbing her of her testosterone and DHEA, and by turning it into estrogen, and she really needs some DHEA and testosterone. So there's a little review, ma'am.
Okay, I was just curious. The diabetes is not a concern, and I'm on the estrogen and progesterone, I just wondered, because the other thing I was on is the DHEA, so I was just curious about that.
Well, it can turn into testosterone, and if it's doing that for you, which can be confirmed or not confirmed by a test, then you can stick with that.
Okay.
Sooner or later, though, most ladies do need a little bit of testosterone to get up into the female normal. That usually happens with time. If you don't need it now, cool, but as we all grow older, etc.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the other question, I'm having some heart issues, and one of the tests the cardiologist wants me to have is a stress test, but he wants the nuclear test done. And I just wondered, is that a concern at all?
What's meant by the nuclear test? Is that the MRI?
Where they give you an injection of something, and then it stresses the heart. And they do x-rays or pictures of your heart instead. He said because of what my heart issue is, doing the treadmill test, I guess, wouldn't work correctly, and so they stress it chemically.
I don't like stressing hearts chemically if they don't need to be stressed. I think I'd look for a second opinion from another cardiologist who perhaps knows a bit more about the natural medicine.
Okay, I was thinking about that, I did get I was at your clinic a week ago, and I did get a recommendation for a cardiologist in Kirkland, so maybe
yes.
I'll do that before I have the
please do.
Done.
Yes, you go ahead.
The other thing was the doctor did recommend fish oil, but not a specific kind and how much, and I didn't realize that till I got home. So it's... I don't want to go on a statin, and
no way.
The other thing he suggested, and because there's some plaque in my aorta, and I really wanted to try something else, so I'm trying to do more of a Mediterranean diet, and
yes,
but I was not sure if there's what type of fish oil.
Okay, well, let's address that first. There are many companies who have fish oil. Since you've been to the clinic, the products in our dispensary are the ones the doctors think are best, but there's still three or four different brands. What you want to do with those brands is pick up the bottle and look at the label and see whether the EPA fraction or the DHA fraction is higher. Now, the reason you want to do that is that all fish oil has both DHA and EPA, and they list how much of each one. Now, oddly enough, some researchers found that for women, the DHA fraction keeps their platelets from sticking together too rapidly, but it doesn't do that for men. Whereas for men, they found that the EPA fraction kept their platelets from sticking together too rapidly, but it doesn't do that for women. Now, both genders need both types because they're important for many other things than platelets. But if you've got a heart problem and we're trying to keep those platelets from causing a clot, then you want to be looking for one that has higher EPA than DHA. And you can read that right on the label. And how much of that? Well, if you're taking the little capsules, they're usually 1,000 milligrams. If a person has a heart problem, I'll usually say, hey, look, 1,000 milligrams, 5 of them is a teaspoon. You ought to be on at least 2 teaspoons of fish oil a day. It will not hurt, and it will help. And that's 10 capsules. So some people just get the liquid oil and put it into a teaspoon and swallow it.
Sure, that would be fine. And so I'm sorry, and which one do I need the highest? The DHA. DHA, sorry.
Yeah, we think up all kinds of things to help remember stuff. And when I was much younger, some ladies were called dames, and that's how we remember D for ladies.
Okay, that's helpful. Okay, I appreciate that. And the other thing I wondered, I've had it ringing in my ears for a long time. Is there anything to help with that?
Well, I'm sort of guessing, ma'am, that you might be after the menopause?
Yes.
Okay, 2 things about that. First, the ringing in the ears. There was research from somewhere in the southeast of the United States, I forget where they gave folks B12 shots, and these were women with osteoporosis, by the way, and some of the women noticed that, oh my goodness, my ear ringing is better. So we do try that, because after menopause, we frequently work to the point where our stomachs aren't making the molecule that is totally essential for absorbing B12, so we can swallow all we want with no results, but if we do a shot, what do you know, it gets in there. I'm not saying it works 100%, but it does work for a significant percentage, so that's something to talk to your doctor about. If you try it, you can give it to yourself at home, and it's that safe. But there's one other thing to tell you about, ma'am, and I promise I will shut up. But if you happen to be past the menopause, you've quit having menstrual bleeding. And that is the reason why, by age 65, women are having as many heart attacks as men. There's a really terrific book on that, but there's other people waiting, so I'm going to summarize it by saying that after the menopause, it's a very good idea for women to join the men in donating blood quite regularly, because that reduces blood thickness, and the blood thickness is actually the cause of that plaque accumulation. So if we can keep the blood thickness down, it's called blood viscosity, then we don't inflame the area which causes the plaque to accumulate. If you're seeing a Tomoclinic doctor, talk to that doctor about the blood viscosity test. It tells you exactly how thick your blood is or isn't, and whether you should donate blood, and your doctor can tell you about how often just by getting that test done.
Okay, great.
Okay, ma'am.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your program.
Thank you for that, ma'am, and thank you for calling, and now it's time to go to our break.